When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Warning, this podcast may contain bad language and content that some listeners may find that they need assistance with.
See, yeah. I get that.
And because we're stupid and doing this topic, secondary disclaimer, we are going to be talking about assisted suicide, suicide, themes of that nature. If you're not comfortable with that, this is not the episode for you.
But all I wanted was a Pepsi.
Don't ask. We're moving on.
I'm a boss, just give me a Pepsi, please. All I want is a Pepsi, and she wouldn't get it to me. All I wanted was a Pepsi, just one Pepsi, and she wouldn't get it to me.
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast.
With your hosts, T, Cleves, and Selena.
Every week, bringing some much-needed balance and humour to brighten up what can sometimes be a dark, disabled world.
Welcome back to the Seesaw Podcast, the show that sees a high-voltage sign and decides to lick the label. We are back this week with a stupid fucking topic. I don't know why we're doing this. We've done topics in the past.
Call it that. Very serious topic. It's not a stupid topic at all.
I think it's stupid in the sense that we're covering it because we have done controversial episodes in the past, and that's what I mean. It's an important topic, but there are certain no-goes you go in to, like, when you're doing this sort of thing. This is probably on that list.
If we've done mental health, we can do anything.
True. I know. Let's do politics and religion next week. Yeah. Jesus.
Oh, we started religion, have we?
Okay. So this week, we are going to be discussing a BBC documentary called Better Off Dead.
True or false?
Is that the tagline on it?
No, it's just the one I put on there.
Okay. So, brief overview of this. It's about assisted suicide or assisted dying, which is a phrase that's used quite a lot.
AD for short.
Yep.
Audio described dying.
Great. The smashing start here. This documentary is from the perspective of disabled people who are activists to not allow the law in the UK to be changed to allow for restricted assisted suicide or assisted dying. I'm just going to call it assisted suicide because that's what I know it as. I know that all the paperwork is going to say assisted dying, and there's going to be some stuff that in other countries says that, but that's what the public know it as. So call a spade a spade, I suppose.
It's done by a lady called Liz Carr, actress and activist.
Yes.
She's a British actress, been in like Silent Witness and shit.
So it basically goes over how changing the law to allow for assisted suicide, it would kind of incorporate disabled people potentially into this. So a disabled person would be able to end their life if they chose to. And they're against that because of there's been a lot of issues, especially in Canada. We'll get to Canada. And it could be a bit of a slippery slope. That's what the argument is. Although the policy is quite succinct, specific at the moment, it can balloon out, which again happened in Canada, where they started off very specific and then it grew outwards. And it shows, it was portrayed as being a showing of not a disrespect, but essentially undervaluing the lives of disabled people. Essentially, the attitude was giving disabled people the right to do this or the ability to do this, essentially is society saying, oh, you're disabled, you're different. If you want to end your life, you can do so. There was a lot of testimonials. We'll get into a bit more detail of that and conversations had, but essentially that's what the documentary is about.
All right, I'll begin. So what it kind of alludes to is that if a fully abled person wants to end their life, it's kind of seen as a bit of a tragedy, but they'll do it. Whereas if a disabled person wants to end their life, it's more like ending suffering, like doing themselves a favor. That was kind of mentioned at the start. I feel that's a little bit like mental conditioning. Are we talking thoughts on that? Or
yeah, well, it made me think when I heard that at the start of it, if people, when they meet you, they go, oh, I don't know how you do it. Like, that's not like comment that you get quite a lot when you people find out that you can't see. Oh, you know, I couldn't do that. So, yeah.
So the question I have is on this whole assisted suicide thing and whether it should be legal or not was mainly along the lines of physical suffering versus mental suffering, in the sense that when this law comes in, if it does come in, the people that are campaigning for it are campaigning it largely for people that are terminal at the minute and are in like physical pain. And yeah. Some of the arguments made in the documentary were that people who have poor mental health may think that physically they are worse than they are, and whether they would potentially be eligible under the new law if it was expanded from people with terminal, if it was people that had long-term unbearable suffering, that they might be able to end their lives when they're not actually in that much physical pain. It's more of a mental health issue than it is a physical issue.
So I think it's also important to point out that this isn't the first time this law has been attempted to be pushed through Parliament, like this piece of legislation. It's been attempted a fair few times, a handful of times over the last 10, 15 years.
Eight.
And it has never passed.
But the point that it actually gets to that voting stage is quite significant, and it's the thing that people are definitely campaigning strongly for, isn't it?
Yeah. So going back to the mental and physical suffering side of things, there were some cases in here, and I know we will jump about a little bit, but the documentary was good to an extent of showing examples of this. And again, yeah, we'll be jumping around. Canada had basically this system called MAID, medically assisted
in dying.
In dying, that's the one. How did I forget the word in? Medical assistance in dying, which started off very similar to what the UK government's trying to do, and then it did expand out to disabled people can also fall under it. There's also discussions about mental health also going to be included in this down the line. But they did use an example of a woman who essentially did end her life through the system after having an accident, and she had been, well, supposedly starving herself, had other mental health issues, and felt that she wanted to end her life. And because she was a medical professional, she could get around the system. She knew exactly what to say to people. It had to be countersigned by two medical professionals, which she achieved. Her daughter pointed out that their family GP of decades would never have signed it, and actually did refuse to sign it. But it was more of a mental health thing, but she was able to end her life through this system. So that's the concern, a big concern for people with the UK side of things, of is it mental more than physical, and how do you make that distinction when someone, you know, is looking down this avenue of ending their life?
Even though it was mental, right? Whether she was in the right mind or the right frame of mind, I guess, is probably what they were alluding to. Because at the end of the day, in Canada, you get your choice of whether you can end your own life, providing you fall under the category of, what is it, like unbearable pain that won't get better or something like that. You'd have to be terminal, but it's like long-term unbearable suffering or something like that. It's something like the wording used. And then if that's the case, if you fall under that category, then you're given the choice on whether you want to end your life or not, but whether she was put in the correct mental state to be able to make a proper decision on it, I guess you'll never know that.
And that's the tricky thing, and that's why this is such a hot button topic.
Still her choice there, wasn't it?
Yeah. Selena, any further thoughts?
But is it I don't know. It's a choice, but did she have capacity to make that choice at that time? That's the thing, isn't it? That's the question. But I mean, I suppose we've not really spelled it out, but I'm against assisted suicide. Probably should say that right now. I don't believe it is the way to go. You get your cards that you're dealt and you deal with it. Although maybe that's easier for me to say for someone who's not in quotation marks unbearable suffering pain. But yeah, Canada's system, which it focused on a lot, but then actually right at the end, it was actually surprising how many countries have assisted suicide legalized. Quite a few states in America, some places in Australia, New Zealand, quite a few European countries, Belgium, Spain, obviously the Switzerland's the famous one. But yeah, it's concerning how it's the Canadian system, at least, has spread from the terminal illness, track one, as they call it, and now they have, which is you have 24 or 48 hours or something it was, where you can get assistance in dying. And then they have track two, which is 90 days, where you're not terminally ill, but you do have this, or you feel you have this unbearable
cooling off
suffering.
Period.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a delicate subject. Mm-hmm. And I think the documentary was very good at highlighting reasons for against it. If you go back to the homeless man situation, he was acquired a disability which resulted in financial poverty. He got his approval to end his life, but then people raised money for him so he could find a home to live in, and therefore he didn't need to end his life. And that, you know, how many people are like that, that are choosing death?
It still seems like a mental thing again. So with regards to that Canadian system, I think you needed two medical professionals and an independent witness to sign it off before you could get it done. Mm-hmm. So maybe they just need to put some sort of mental evaluation in there as well, or at least more stringent ones.
Yep.
To see whether
seems
they can
quite
do it.
Easy, doesn't it? In a way.
Do you ever find it a little unsettling when they went to speak to that Canadian doctor and just how happy she was about doing everything?
Oh, God. Yeah.
I just didn't like the joke. Like, before they went in, no, that's what I was cringing about. Like, oh, don't eat or drink anything. It's like, they're not there to fucking kill you. Like, come on.
They were trying to make a documentary lighthearted, though. I like that.
Yeah, there was one. Yeah, I thought that. Yeah. Mm.
In just tough thing, like topic. But yeah, that doctor, she's happily killed over 400 people. Which, it's, I don't know. You have to be someone different to be able to do a job. She also works in abortion.
Yeah,
she cared.
The doctor did say that she liked her job and she was happy that she was making a difference, but I don't believe she ever said she was happy she was killing people. Mm. I think that's a bit of a leap to say she's happy that she's killing people. She just sees the value in what she's doing, and she was very good at highlighting the fact that I'm here to facilitate a service with a lot of guidelines and regulations in place, and I do that. And she has said no to people. So it's a bit of a weird one. Yes, a little bit unsettling, but I think it's, they only have so much time and creative editing license to do that. I'm holding my cards tight to my chest at the moment because I don't want to just turn this into tea shouts for half an hour. I think...
We need to be up, halfway through the episode.
Yeah, I mean, the Canadian system, I think, does have a lot of issues. And I think highlighting those issues is important when we are trying to... We're looking at policies for our own country, whether that means it is a part of the legislation or it isn't. And I think looking at systems that are in place, not just Canada and other things, other countries, I think that's important. I think the 48-hour side of things is too fast. I think the 3-month stuff, it depends on the situation. If I'm being honest, I felt that it was a bit selective of, yes, you are always going to have instances, unfortunately, but and this goes over like the entire thing. They didn't show one case of someone's family member who has gone off to like Switzerland to dig the test. Not one.
No, but I thought it was quite balanced. They brought out a load of like doctors and people that were in favour for doing it, and they spoke to people like medical professionals and people that were in favour of the law as well.
Yeah, that's true. But then one person they did speak to, who was the lady something, who had a horse riding accident, who
Baroness Campbell.
There you go. Who is pro the legislation?
Oh wait, no. Wasn't she the one that was against?
No, she was against.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's against.
Yeah, the horse riding one.
Yeah, there's another guy. Oh, okay. I'm
yeah. Who was
the Times journalist?
Yes,
Melanie Reed, I think.
So pro it, and basically, what they were saying was, well, if it's my choice, and I'm of sound capacity and the process is in place, why is that something I'm not allowed to do? And there was no answer for it.
Because I tell you why she shouldn't know. She shouldn't allowed to do. She had a horse riding accident. So she's gone from being a fully abled person and she's acquired her disability, which isn't, by the sounds of it, causing her unbearable suffering. It's just not as...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Perfect as her life was before, and it's how you go in and approach disability, isn't it? That's what it's all about. Disability doesn't have to be the end of the world. Disability, you can still live a fulfilling life and be part of society and contribute to society. That's where that argument is for me. That's what the problem with, or part of the problem, if this was legalized, is that disability is seen as this negative, and it doesn't have to be a negative.
It's their choice. That's my argument. It's their choice, and providing the systems are in place, why should they not have that choice?
To protect them from themselves.
But it's their life. Yeah. Who the fuck cares? It's their life. And the process should be in place like you would do with gender reassignment. You know,
that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, but there has to be like a call-off period for these instances. If someone is in huge amounts of pain and stuff like that, then obviously you have to have another system in place for that. But if someone is truly unhappy, who is it?
No.
Everyone's life is
their own
life.
Why are you letting... But why aren't you supporting them, either as an individual or as a society? Why are we not supporting them to make them happy? Why do you go, oh, you're unhappy. Okay, you do what you want then. Well, it's not very nice. It's not very caring.
Who's to say they haven't had the support and they still feel the same?
I'm saying they couldn't have had the support because if they're feeling like that.
But how do you know? Maybe they've gone down all the networks they have done, and maybe they've done all the therapy and spoken to all the specialists, and then afterwards they're just like, no, I just rather wouldn't be here. And that's their decision. There's going to be people like that. And that's their decision. They have the right to their own life. No one has any agency or ownership on anyone else's life. Absolutely none. And I'm someone who is fully against the death penalty. Fully against that. I don't believe in killing in any regard, but the one thing you have in life is your own life. And I think if your situation dictates and you've gone through the correct protocol of support networks and you still come to that decision at the end, I think that is your right and you should be allowed to do that.
No, but then that's completely like the opposite thing to mental health then. Like mental health, no, we need to look after people, but this is all right, do what you want. It's still your life that you're trying to end, and your life affects other people's lives, your family, your friends, people that care about you. What difference is it to mental health? It's no different.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not saying that they do it outside of like consulting with their family and stuff like that. You have terminally ill people who live a long time, and they want that as an option. Like Dignitas sees a lot of people go over there, that like the waiting list is big for that because people go through that. And there's going to be people who are consulting with their family on that. And that's their right to do. And the family would agree on that. Not in every instance.
No, who says the family? Exactly. Who's to say that they agree with that?
But ultimately, you know, it's their life. And, yeah, there are some that are going to have families who are on their side. And there are going to be some that don't. But I think, I hate the term lived experience, but no one knows what anyone else is going through. Even if they see the signs, like the day to day, they know what medication they're on. No one knows what someone is going through. That doesn't mean they don't need help. They do need help. And I think that should be provided. And ideally, in the society and the world we're in, they should get all the help they need. But unfortunately, it isn't always available to everyone.
Are they in pain because society is making them in pain because society is not adapted for disabled people? And really, you're viewing it only from a medical model perspective and a social model.
I did. When I watched that, I thought, what does Cleese now think of the social model? Is it an issue? I think it is. That was a good argument for the social model, actually, in this instance of society perhaps should be doing more in these situations. What do you guys think?
That still comes down to, like, mental health, right? Yeah, like, if the society is not set up for you to deal with it properly, then perhaps that has an effect on your mental health. And then if your mental health is bad, then perhaps you're not in the correct cognitive capacity to decide whether you are justified in wanting to take your own life or not. But if you could go through that and go through your mental... I don't know, I think there should be probably some sort of system in place that evaluates people's mental health, probably by more than one person as well, and have that ticked off before they're able to decide whether they could take their own life or not. And I would say that specifically for people dealing with either long-term illness or disability. If it's regards to it being terminal or whatever, then, well, no, just think, do you, if you want to take your own life before that?
Again, I think it comes down to process. And I think any legislation that's passed has to have, it's not going to be perfect, but we have lots of examples of other countries who have done it well, and others that haven't done it so well. And the criticisms are there, and you can adapt and adjust around that and try and make a system. And you can develop it down the line. Like that's absolutely fine. Like if it takes you a year or so to get that sorted before it's even available to people, you do it. Like time is on the side of that. It's unfortunate that some people would be wanting that option in the meantime, but unfortunately you have to make sure that this is correct, and that's the important thing. I think it with a system in a world where it's absolutely fine and like it's a good system, and like you said, Cleves, you have like two independent mental health specialists sign off on them, you can host them to other things and try and get them the help and things like that. I think that's a good idea. But I was frankly really fucking infuriated by this documentary. It seemed incredibly biased to me.
I didn't get that. I'm completely opposite.
That was the point.
It was quite balanced.
It was supposed to be a different perspective.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be seeing a different side of it, because you don't hear about people against it. You always hear the louder voices of the people for it. So it was good to actually see on national TV a different side.
But I don't fully understand their arguments.
I didn't get that either. That was one thing I watched the entire way through and thought, I don't really get where you're coming from.
No.
I understand that, like, some people, one argument was made was that people that are vulnerable will be perhaps more open to coercion of other people, friends, family, whatever. But I felt like it always came back down to a sort of mental health issue and not being able to fully evaluate someone in that respect, and also then basing those sorts of arguments on systems that were available in the other countries. Like, what if England brought in this system and then this happened and that sort of thing? It's more like working on the systems to stop the bad things that have been happening in other countries, and we don't know how frequent those are either. But if you can start to eliminate some of those things,
I think Liz Carr's point was that in Canada, with the disability that she has, she would be allowed to apply to MAID.
Yeah, you don't have to.
And that's her choice.
But is that right when she knows that someone like her can have a good life So should someone with her long-term health condition be eligible for that system? And what does that make her, what does that then say about society and their opinion of her and her life and her abilities? It doesn't fill you with much, you know.
It must have been hard for her. Yeah, I get that. It must have been hard. But at the same time, let's not pretend that she's not... she's obviously worked hard for it, but she is in a privileged position now where she is an actor, now journalist. Do you know what I mean? Some people...
So she says she's had her mental health issues.
Yeah, but who hasn't in this day and age? I'm sorry, but who hasn't had mental health issues? But I'm just saying, like, using her as an example... Like, she is a unique circumstance. There's going to be people with her condition who have a really shit time of it. Like,
yeah,
they're going to have
is
a
that
really
society is
yeah, that's
making
what
it
she
work
did
for them.
Okay, let's give them all acting jobs on the BBC. There you go, solve the fucking problem. Then we'll have the money and support to be able to pay for therapy. Like, there's no solution.
But if her mental health slipped, but the point is, if her mental health slipped and she wasn't feeling good about herself and her condition again, she could easily go and choose, if she lived in Canada, to apply for MAID and end her life. Is that right now?
But the Canada system, like the 48 hours, is bollocks. I think it's a shit system that should be only used for end of life to maybe reduce like the suffering of someone at the end.
It is.
And that's what it should be.
But they're trying to expand it, which is even more concerning.
Okay, but can't take the flaws of one system and use them as a justification in a country that doesn't have policy of why it can't be policy. Because it's obvious what the issues are, and you don't do them. I'm sorry, you can't say that. You can't say that one country's way of doing things is a reason for not doing something in your own country.
Because you can see how it can get out of hand.
That's why you
point.
Regulate it. That's why it's regulated.
The Canadian system's regulated, and look how well that's working out for them.
But you see how bad it is, and you don't let it get that far. You have empirical and data evidence to show the issues.
Doesn't work like that.
Well, that's why it's something that can't be rushed. You know, that's why you don't rush it. But you can't use an example of another country's activity.
Isn't it just better not to do it at all? Don't put yourself at that. The risk of that happening and having a system that's incorrect, just don't have a system at all. Done.
I condemn thousands to abject misery, hardship, and freedom of choice.
I'd rather put the money into help supporting them in other ways to improve their lives.
But are you going to reach all of them?
So they don't have that amount of suffering. You're never going to reach everyone.
Okay. So what about those people that aren't reached?
That's with life all over in lots of different avenues. That's always a work in progress.
Yeah, there's never going to be enough money. There's never going to be enough resource to do this. I'm not saying that this is the option that should be out there, but I think there are enough situations where this... enough.
How much do you think it's
going
to cost to put the system in place?
Yeah, but how much do you think it's going to cost to give people continual care for their entire life? It'll cost you to put the system in, but without being crude, there's probably a cost saving there of people that want to end their lives as opposed to having to maintain support for them over a period of their entire lifetime.
Also,
that's definitely not a reason to do
that. Yeah. Also, a comment that was said like off the cuff, which pissed me off. It was kind of alluding to the fact that the government would save a shitload of money if a lot of people just killed themselves through this system.
Well, they probably would.
And it's like... It hasn't passed 8 fucking times. The government, if they thought they could make money off of something, they would do it. They've made controversial choices before to make money. It just really infuriated me. I'm so pro-choice on everything like this. I think it's a person's choice. I think everyone has the right to their own life. I see that the issues, I see the criticisms. I know it's not perfect, but... My argument is always going to be who is anyone to tell another person what they can do with their life?
But then that's the same with mental health. Then you're just saying let people get on with it. Just let them do. What's the difference? You make no sense. You say one thing about one thing and then something else about another.
Well, mental health does need support. Like it does. Like mental health obviously does need the support.
Just their pro-choice to be like that.
Well, it kind of is. in a way.
That's what you've just said.
I'm personally of the opinion that mental health is bad, but if you want to get better, you have to make that decision.
And I think, although there's parallels there, they are not the same thing. Being pro-positive, like mental health and support for mental health, I think is completely different to the wide-spanning people who would be affected by this legislation change. I don't think they're the same. I think there is some parallels, and there are some things that would link up there. But I am very pro mental health, and if that's what would stop people from taking their life in a system that is heavily regulated and they can make sure that they are getting better, then I think that's a good thing. I don't want people to take their life, but I'm not going to tell people they can't if I don't know their situation. I don't know what pain they've gone through and the suffering. And as long as there's a comprehensive system in place, that's their right, in my opinion. I'll never tell anyone what they can and can't do. If they need help, help should be provided. But ultimately,
these people need help. They feel like they need to end their life.
Yeah, that should be provided first.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Will it though?
But without getting dark, people who want to take their life will do it regardless of the system anyway. So, you know, there's also that aspect of it. This is just enabling mercy in some specific situations where people don't have that option and should be allowed to if they want.
Well, everyone's suitably dark and depressed.
Yeah. I got quite angry with this. I understand both sides, but I'm firmly on my side.
I've heard your side. We've heard it. Yeah. You've heard mine. I've heard yours. Everyone's going to have their own opinion and own arguments and own thoughts. Tell us what you think. That's what we're going to get onto now, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, go watch the documentary. Let us know what you think about the documentary. If you do have any opinions and thoughts, try and be constructive. Be nice. This is a discussion. We're not making policy. The outcome of this show does not dictate the law.
And next week we'll do something fun again, because it's been two deep episodes. So
yeah,
back to fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Seesaw Podcast. Your feedback and comments mean a lot to us, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so in the following ways.
You can find us on X at Seesaw Pod, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Seesaw Podcast. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com. And you can stream with us live every week on Twitch at Seesaw Podcast.
Remember to like, rate, review, and share with a friend.
This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.